I have this patient now who's not safe at home, or is the caregiver is not safe because they're not taking care of themselves. Here's your solution. Here's a pamphlet for Ember. Give them a call. They can help you. And now they can make sure their patient is safe. And then everyone's happy, I think, in the long run with that.
Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Elements of Styles. Today, I am grateful to have Sherry Flight. Sherry is a founder, owner, and operator of Ember Holistic Care. It's a dementia consulting company. Welcome to the show, Sherry.
Thank you for having me. Excited to be here.
So tell me, what does a dementia consulting company do?
So kind of a variety. So we focus for both the professional caregiver and the personal caregiver. So in the professional realm, it is providing support in any way they need, whether that is training for their staff, doing education for leads that they are trying to bring into the building. If they have, quote unquote, the behavioral dementia resident, we can be kind of an outside source for them to reach out to be able to see if we have any out-of-the-box ideas for approach to that person and whatever the behaviors are that they're experiencing. And then for the person living at home with the family caregiver, or if they're in a community, it is just guiding them through that dementia journey in whatever way they need, whether it's education, moving their loved one, support for other family members, support just for the person with dementia. We kind of meet them where they're at in that journey, and we can assist them the entire way, part of the way, as needed, whatever they prefer. But we kind of noticed that there was a huge need for that, because when someone's diagnosed, the family's kind of just thrown to the wolves to figure out the rest of that journey by themselves. So that's kind of where we saw a need, and that's where we came from.
So tell me about that. So, you know, the sandwich generation, the mm-hmm. kids want to help the parents and they're raising the kids, and you get that diagnosis. Like, in a typical healthcare scenario, what are next steps? Where is the path forward? Like, what are they to do?
So ideally, next step, unfortunately, a lot of the people are diagnosed by their primary care physician, who they know about dementia, but they kind of know the bare minimum. So they'll give the diagnosis. Ideal next step would be to refer them to a neurologist who specializes in dementia. That is a key piece too, because there are neurologists who do not specialize in it. So you're still not having that correct type of doctor. So that would be the ideal next step, just to be able to get them the next set of tools that they need to move forward with this dementia journey, or looking up to see if there's any care managers, companies like ours, a dementia consultant, or any other doctors in the area that really truly specialize. And there's a lot of studies. There's a few different studies in the Boston area through Boston University where you can partake in the study if you're accepted. And then you get all of the things that go along with that, of the follow-up from those doctors who are specializing in it, while also being a part of the study too. So a few different steps that should happen after that aren't necessarily happening right now for every doctor.
And so typically when they're not happening, people go home, they get on WebMD, they start going down the YouTube rabbit holes, and they do it themselves. They try to figure it out for themselves.
Yeah, either figure it out themselves, or they just act like the diagnosis didn't happen because they're having a really hard time with coping with it. So the things that need to happen, of like the conversations of what are your wishes as you progress with your dementia, or what are you okay with moving into a building in the future, or just understanding dementia. A lot of people will either just ignore it because they don't want to accept it, because by accepting it, that means you have to do something about it. And that's to no fault of theirs, that you don't know what you don't know. Or people, like you said, they'll kind of just start researching things online and gather what information they can, which there's a lot of great stuff online, but there's a lot of not so great stuff online. So truly trying to find someone who can work specifically with you and your loved one. Also, because there's so many different types of dementia, so you want to make sure you're looking up the right information too.
So your company, Ember Holistic Care, comes in at that point and becomes that in-house consultant, that Sherpa for success. This is going to be challenging. You're going to make a lot of mistakes. Let us identify those and go around those mistakes and Absolutely. Have this as smooth and frictionless as possible.
Yeah. Ideally, we would love to be referred to the second someone's diagnosed. If we could get into all the doctor's offices, that would be awesome. That would be a long-term goal. But we, regardless of where they're at in their journey, we can assist. We have people who found us when the person's end stage dementia. So now it's kind of prepping the family of this is the new norm. This is how you can engage with them. This is the things you should prepare for with them being end stage. So we can come in at any point, but ideal to come in the beginning so we can truly kind of do a handhold throughout that whole journey for them.
And what is the triggering typically that people say, oh, I can't do this anymore. I need help.
Oftentimes it is either the person's repetitiveness is becoming to be too much, whether it's the repetitive questions or stories. It's a lot. It's like, I would say it's like having a little kid at home. It's like, mom. The little kid understands like, hey, let's cool it. Take a step back. The person with dementia is not going to understand that. So that sometimes for families is like, okay, I can't do this anymore. If the person is wandering and leaving the home, that's obviously unsafe, can't be left alone anymore. That's a big triggering point. And then sometimes when there's no other help outside, either if there's no other family or friends to step in, it's truly just one child taking care of a parent or whoever it might be. A lot of them are also like, I have no life anymore. I'm not going to my own doctor's appointments anymore. So it's trying to avoid reaching that burnout level, which so many dementia caregivers do.
And your group also is there for them.
Yes. Yep. So that's the big thing that we love to offer is we are taking care of your loved one with dementia, but we're going to take just as much care of you as dementia. So we will start with caring for both, but more so the person with dementia so we can get to know them, their needs, get them situated and the caregiver comfortable with our suggestions. And then, okay, time to switch gears and now add you into this focus. So what are things you like to do? What are things you're not doing anymore? How can we help you get there and hit that goal? So we'll start doing some of those goal settings to try and get them to start having life of their own while still caring for their loved one.
And unfortunately, and we've talked about this a little bit on the podcast and the mindset of the insurance company, they don't see this yet, right? The proactive benefits that the cost savings for the insurance, they're not allowing this to be a insurable service yet, correct?
Correct. Yeah. Our goal is to eventually, as we start to grow, because we're newer. So as we start to grow is to reach out to those companies to see what hoops do we need to jump through so we can start taking insurance as well. Because we are all private pay right now. And that's obviously challenging for a lot of people, especially with baby boomers getting older. We're seeing a lot of younger people come. So they're planning for an even longer financial journey of dementia. So we'd love to be able to do that too, to assist them.
Yet those who understand the value of professional services, those that can afford it so that they also don't need to worry about certain things, right? The knowing of the value of professional services, they understand that this is a good investment.
100%. And we try to work with our families too. If we have someone who's, let's say, 63 years old, still early onset where their dementia probably has a little bit to go with their progression, we will always work with the family because at the end of the day, we just want to help this person with dementia and the family. So we can break up payments in any way that is needed so that we can make sure that they're still getting the care that they need, but also we can still make sure we're running our business on the other end.
Right. So how did you find your way into this business? It's unique. It's trailblazing. It's solving a problem. It's filling a need. What's your story? How did you find your way here?
Yeah. So I come from the assisted living world, specifically memory care. There's actually another owner with me. Her name's Katie. She is an LPN. She is out on maternity leave right now. Otherwise, she would join me. But she and I both come from that world. And she was a nurse in a building that I was a program director in. And we met there. That was in, I believe, 2016. And both had the same passion for the holistic approach and saw a lot of benefits to like the meditation, Reiki, aromatherapy. We both kind of dove a little deeper in that with some of the benefits we saw to our residents that, again, that had those quote unquote dementia related behaviors. And we also saw how many caregivers were coming in that were burnt out, not going to doctor's appointments, had health issues arising, couldn't visit because they were constantly sick from being stressed. So saw a lot of families that just did not have support outside of the support that we were providing. So between the holistic interest and between the interest in supporting the caregiver, both of us were like, you know, there's something here with this. I think we can move forward with this. And that's kind of where Ember was born.
Cool. And I love that. That's the entrepreneurial spirit, is seeing a problem and looking to solve that problem. help me understand the holistic component to it, right? So you have, you know, insurance and medical and payers and certain boxes that need to be checked. Tell me how this is unique with the holistic component to it as well.
Yeah. So
it's in the title. It's in the name of your company. Yeah. So you're living this.
Yeah. So side note too, with the insurance piece, I'm confident in the future this will be something that is accepted because I know acupuncture is now accepted under most insurances. So I'm hopeful that we're kind of gravitating towards that in the future. But so are you familiar with Reiki at all?
I am familiar with what it is called, not what the actual practice is.
So easiest way. Easiest way to explain it, and I always tell people to kind of look it up and do a deep dive because it's fascinating, and it my husband always laughs and says it sounds like witchcraft, so I definitely promote for people to look it up if you're not familiar when I talk about it. But it's energy healing, so it's using the energy from your body to work with another person. So it can be in person where you kind of take your hands, you hover over the person's body. If there's an area of the body that is having some trouble, so for example, Katie is a Reiki master. She oftentimes, when she would perform Reiki on our residents, their heads would always feel hot, which makes sense because they have dementia and their brains are deteriorating. So she can kind of feel energetically where in their body they're having some struggles. So with that piece, her office was downstairs in the building that we worked together in. I would give her a call and say, hey, so-and-so is having a really hard time. I have her in my office right now. Do you mind sending her Reiki? And I'm going to put on the aromatherapy and some meditation music. And you could see this one woman in particular, her anxiety, her stress, she would be shaking. She was so anxious. You could see it slowly starting to get better and better and better. And she would call me on the phone and say, hey, I'm done. Is she okay now? I'm like, yeah, she's fantastic. Thank you so much. And it allowed this woman to be able to calm down. She didn't need what we call a PRN. It's an as-needed medication. Usually people have it if they do have anxiety or other issues. Did not need that. She was able to calm down simply from just the aromatherapy, the meditation, and the Reiki, and she would be able to go back about her day and enjoy the programs. So the goal with the holistic side of it is to avoid those medications if we can and only have to use them if we absolutely need to, because there are some people, as they progress, that their brains are just changing so much that medication's all that's going to help them. So we have the knowledge that they will eventually need it, but also want to take these approaches first before introducing any other medications.
That's interesting. And dementia is such an interesting diagnosis and so complicated that, it's the brain is such an interesting place. How often are folks who are experiencing dementia, certain forms of dementia, also anxious? Is it part of the diagnosis, or is it that someone who was anxious becomes more anxious, or sometimes somebody who wasn't anxious is becoming anxious? Is that a common thing that the people are anxious? Like, because that's a terrible thought to watch somebody. Yeah.
Honestly, all the above. You have people who had it prior and it can just kind of become exacerbated as the brain's changing. You have the opposite effect, whereas the brain changes, personality and whatnot can change too. So maybe it's not as bad because the things they were once anxious about, they may no longer recall. So they forget about that. And then you have people who are in the early stages who kind of recognize something's not right here. I'm forgetting things a lot. That can increase anxiety. And then again, as people progress even further, they could misunderstand what's happening in a room of whatever they're hearing or seeing, and that can increase anxiety. The woman that I just gave you the example about with the Reiki, she was a perfect example of that. Her hearing was awful. So she would think that she heard people talking about her, and that would increase her anxiety. And she would start shaking. She would start yelling because she thought that they were talking about her, but she actually just could not hear. So that's why we would kind of take her away from the loud environment to a quieter environment, so it's not overstimulating, and that would calm her back down.
There's so much there. And, you know, for those families who have never experienced this, to then be thrown into that is a lot.
It is. The other side of it too is just thinking about that old generation, even my parents' generation, of mental health wasn't quite talked about as much. So there's probably so many people, I'd say 60 and older, who could have undiagnosed anxiety, depression, because when my parents were growing up, even, that it was like a no-no. Like, if you had to go see a therapist or be put on medication that was, you don't want to talk about that. So I think that's the other struggle, is there is people that are probably not diagnosed with anxiety and it's coming out as they're progressing with a dementia. That's hard for families too, because they may not have known that they had a diagnosis.
And then you realize, wow, they were managing with general anxiety all this time and never said anything.
Exactly.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
So where do you go from here? So insurance companies, you see and manifest that they will see the value in this connection, this consulting, and they'll be there for you. Where do you see your business going? Ember Holistic. It's a new business, Ember Holistic Care. Where's the path forward? Where do you see as a business owner where you're going with this?
Yeah. So right now we're pretty much all word of mouth, both being from this field. That's a great thing, because a lot of people already know us. So we're getting a lot of people sent to us that way. But goal, again, I would love to just see if we could get into more doctor's offices. So if they have patients that are either early onset, more progressed, would love to even just have a family refer to us, whether they decide to work with us or not. Even if we could just start, we do a free 45-minute phone consultation. That is a win in itself, whether they're a client of ours or not. We would love to just help them with the next steps, whether it's with us or not. Because
the primary doesn't have time, right? I mean, they're in a business where they've broken it down to 8 to 12 minutes. Here you go. I can't believe I'm telling you this, and this is what you're going to live with, but here it is on a piece of paper. Good luck.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't they embrace the opportunity to be like, okay, and here's somebody who can help?
Mm-hmm. That's, you would think so, and that's what I would hope so, because then that's a solution to their problem of, I have this patient now who's not safe at home, or is the caregiver is not safe because they're not taking care of themselves. Here's your solution. Here's a pamphlet for Ember. Give them a call. They can help you. And now they can make sure their patient is safe. And then everyone's happy, I think, in the long run with that. So that would be your big goal.
That would be a huge burden on the primary care to be holding on. And it's like, where is that connection? I mean, it's a, you know, you have social workers in certain situations. You know, I mean, this is a more of a concierge model here. However, I empathize with the primary care physicians. I mean, they want to do so good, but with the insurance company, it has really become an efficient business. And I don't think they can fully care for their clients, their patients, as best that they possibly could.
I totally agree. I agree with that. And then the other side would be to be as much of a support system to elder care companies, whether it's home care companies, nursing homes, assisted livings, because both of us have been in all of those settings, and you see a staff that either doesn't have enough training based on their response to somebody with dementia, or the burnout or the turnover because they're not getting proper training. We worked for a company where they increased their training and you saw less of a turnover rate because they were getting the proper training on how to respond to these people with dementia. Unfortunately, not everybody does that. So that's the other side of it, is to be able to offer that too, so that business-wise, you're going to keep more staff because you're going to make sure they're having the proper training, and we have over 20 different trainings to offer. So that's where we can assist with that too. But then also just being a resource to families. If you have any families that you want to send our way who just need a little extra TLC than some communities are able to give, because same as doctors, they're caring for 50 plus people usually. We can be that one person for them. We have a few people like that now. We're at assisted livings and it works out well. It's a great relationship with all three of us. So love to just...
That's really interesting. I didn't envision that. So I'm thinking in my mind, right? It's age in place solution, right? So you can age in place a little bit longer, maybe skip one of those steps. However, being welcomed into a community where you have some clients and you can assist them through guest services, right? I mean, we're being signed into a, and it's an add-on, right? It's something that facility may not be able to offer simply because it's not in their scope, right?
Yep.
So you can come in and assist there. That's great. And then as it continues and evolves, there's then hospice, right? And are you involved in that component of it for the family?
Yep, absolutely.
Well?
So we can assist with that side of it too. And that's where I like to say with our people that are either in communities or at home, we can kind of be that middleman too. So if it's time to have that hard conversation of, you know, mom, dad, sister, whoever it might be, it looks like they may be eligible for hospice with their progression, we can have that hard conversation instead of having to put that on anyone else, whether it's the community, doctor, whoever. But we can assess that too, whether it's looking up which hospice is local, which one has good reviews, setting up meetings. We can help with all of that. And then we can also help them along that journey of hospice from beginning to end too.
And then you can gather up the tribe, the family themselves, who may not be fully aligned, right?
Yep.
So to connect the dots there and, you know, for fear of using a legal word, but bring them to a common settlement, right? Like, let's all agree that this is what's happening. So that's a lot. That's a purposeful business right there, for sure.
Yeah, I'd like to think so.
So let's do this. Somebody finds you, maybe it's through this podcast, somebody shared it with them, or maybe it's through a primary care who is now giving your flyer to folks, and they reach out and you're dealing with the family member, not the, you know, the family member is sitting down and says, I want to write a testimonial about Sherry and Ember Holistic Care. What is, they go on the Google machine. What is it? What are they writing in there?
Yeah. So we actually have a few on Google, and just on our website. One in particular that I always loved is, she was actually a friend of mine. I worked with her in past, and both of her parents had dementia. And she and her brother just did not know up from down. She's from the industry, but I always say it's different when it's your own loved one. You kind of forget everything you know. So she just always, she said that she's like, I genuinely feel like you gave us our life back. You gave us some peace of mind. We helped her with when it was time to move. We were brutally honest with her, like, you know, they're not safe at home. We did all the legwork of getting her into the community, them into the community, follow them up to the community. So it's truly just that we gave them their life back. They're able to be the kid again, not have to worry about being the caregiver. And we were able to give their loved one purpose again, too. Those are some of the big things that we seem to hear a lot with what we're able to provide.
I love it. So what's your footprint? Like, where are you helping people?
We have a lot of people in home right now, and we actually have a few people, a handful of people who are kind of that transition stage of we're setting up appointments for families, exploring memory care or assisted living if the person's safe enough to start there before going into a secured environment. But most of our people are at home right now.
What region, though? South Shore.
So we are both down in Plymouth. We have a few people up on the North Shore that have heard about us, so we're traveling up there a lot. But anywhere, I'd say from Plymouth to just north of Boston.
Got it. Love it.
We can do virtual too. We actually have an online private support group for dementia. We have a lot of people out of state. And I did another podcast previously. And we got another out of state contact for a professional opening a community. So we can help virtually as well. We can do calls, phone calls, emails, whatever is easier to provide support, both professionally and personally.
That's great. Being nimble, right? And being able to help people is so important. If somebody did want to reach out to you to connect with you, to find out more information or maybe even engage your services, what's the best way for them to connect with you all?
Yeah, email or phone. Both of our cell phones are on our website, and we have a generic email for both of us that we have access to, just info@emberholistic.com. And we both have access to that email too. So we see everything coming in. And then on our website, there's a form that you can fill out, and we usually reach out to within the first 5 minutes of it coming in.
Wow. And that's at emberholistic.com?
Yes.
Emberholistic.com. Okay. So for those of you listening, you may think I might have forgotten, but I didn't. So podcasting gets you outside your comfort zone a little bit. I like that. I like pushing it. You obviously have that in your blood. You founded a company. You took some chances. People find that karaoke works in the same way. So Sherry, you're next up on the mic. What are you singing?
All right. I already have a go-to.
Good.
It is We Didn't Start the Fire.
Cool.
That's my go-to. However, after a couple of drinks, if you look up We Didn't Start the Fire by Family Guy, that's pretty much what I sound like. And I think you all should look that up after this, and we'll give you a good laugh.
It's a great song. I love that you already have it. So you've obviously done it.
I sure have. Many a time.
Cool.
I know the words while I'm sober. While I'm drunk, I always forget them. I know the beat.
Which is, it's good that they put it up on the screen for you. Sherry, thank you for coming and sharing with us. I love learning with people, and this dementia diagnosis has been an amazing point of curiosity for me. So thank you. Again, I wish you the best of luck with your company.
Thank you for having me. Love talking about it.
Hey, folks, thank you for listening. If you enjoyed this, if you were moved, if you thought of somebody, share it with them. Forward it to them. Shoot, share it with everybody. Be well, folks. Have a great week.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@stiles-law.com. That's mstiles@stiles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This episode is brought to you in part by Secura Title. Secura Title is a fractional paralegal service assisting with all things real estate in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. SecuraTitle.com, where security and title come together. SecuriTitle.com. Secura Title.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.